All right, welcome back, everyone. Ready to take another deep dive? This time we're going way back to 1973, and a case you might not have heard of, United States v. Hilton Hotels Corp. Now I know, 1973, what could that possibly have to do with us now? But believe me, this one's got some twists and turns, and it shows how even when you think you're doing the right thing, things can go very wrong when it comes to antitrust law.
You hit the nail on the head there. This case really highlights a crucial part of antitrust law, per se violations. Basically, with some practices, it doesn't even matter what you intended to do. They're just plain illegal.
And what happened in this case? I know it took place in Portland, Oregon, so set the stage for us.
So you've got a group of hotels and suppliers in Portland. They're all trying to, boost the local economy, attract more conventions to the city. Good idea, right? Seems like everyone would benefit.
Yeah, on the surface, it sounds pretty harmless. I'm sensing a but coming.
Well, yeah. To pull this off, they formed an association. So far, so good. But then the suppliers, they agreed to contribute 1% of their sales to this association. And the hotels, including Hilton, agreed to basically favor those contributing suppliers and kind of, freeze out the ones who didn't play ball.
Sounds a bit like a boycott.
Exactly. Now, Hilton, they argued that they were just trying to support the city, not hurt competition. But the Department of Justice, the DOJ, they saw it as a clear violation of Section 1 of the Sherman Antitrust Act. That part of the law prohibits agreements that unreasonably restrain trade.
And I'm guessing this is where that per se rule you mentioned earlier comes into play.
Yep, because practices like this type of boycott, or if they'd been fixing prices, they're just automatically illegal. Under per se, the courts don't even need to spend time figuring out if competition was actually harmed. It's about preventing that kind of behavior right from the start.
So what was the final verdict in this case?
Well, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, they upheld Hilton's conviction. The court basically said, look, we get it. You wanted to help the city. But the way you went about it, that's a no-go.
So it really drives home the point that it doesn't matter how good your intentions are, if you're breaking antitrust law, that's what matters.
Exactly. It's about the effect of your actions, not what you were thinking when you did them. And that's one of the key differences between a per se violation and something judged under the rule of reason. With rule of reason, the courts really examine the situation to see if an action actually hurt competition. But in the Hilton case, boycott, slam, dunk, per se violation.
So even if you're trying to do something good, you can still end up on the wrong side of antitrust law, huh?
Absolutely. And get this, the purchasing agent at Hilton, who was actually putting this boycott into action, he was doing it against company policy.
Whoa, wait a minute. So Hilton had rules saying don't do this, and the employee went rogue. You'd think that would let them off the hook.
You would, right. But that's what makes this case so interesting. It really cemented a crucial principle in corporate liability. The courts basically said, nope, corporations are responsible for what their employees do when they're doing their jobs, even if they disobey orders.
So it's not enough to just have the right policies in place. You have to make sure people are actually following them.
Exactly. And that brings us to a really important takeaway for any business, but especially those in hospitality. A strong compliance program is essential.
And what does that look like in practice?
Well, it's more than just having some rules written down somewhere. It's about training your employees regularly, being really clear about what's expected of them, and making sure there are ways to report potential violations. And someone has to actually investigate those reports.
So it's really about creating a whole culture of compliance within the company, where everyone understands the rules and why they exist.
Precisely. And it's not something you do just once and forget about it either. You need to review and update your compliance program all the time because the risks and challenges out there are always changing.
The Hilton case really proves your point. Even when they had policies against this kind of behavior, they were still held accountable for what their employee did.
It's a wake-up call, for sure. Compliance is a constant process. It's about being proactive, spotting potential issues before they become problems, not just reacting after the damage is done.
So let's get practical for a second. What can businesses do to make sure their collaborations, especially when they're trying to do something positive, don't end up violating antitrust law?
That's a great question. There are a few key things. Well, first off, you got to know what you're dealing with. You have to be aware of the antitrust risks. Anytime you're talking about agreements between businesses who would normally be competing, especially if those agreements could limit choices for consumers, that's a big red flag.
So it's not just about official contracts or anything, right? Even just casual chats between competitors could cause problems.
Oh, absolutely. Transparency is key here. You want to make sure everyone understands what you're trying to do and why. Being open about your goals and how you're working together can prevent a lot of misunderstandings.
It's like making sure everyone's playing by the same rules and everyone knows what the rules are.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to have a lawyer who really understands antitrust law look over any collaborations you're thinking about, even if they're for charity or community stuff. They can save you a ton of trouble down the line.
It's like having an expert guide who knows the dangerous spots and can help you avoid them.
Precisely. They can spot those potential problems early on and help you structure things in a way that's both good for your business and legal.
And speaking of risks, we were talking about that purchasing agent in the Hilton case, the one who went against company policy.
Oh, yeah. That brings up a really important point about individual responsibility. Even when the company is held liable for what the employee did, that employee can still face consequences too.
So it's not just about keeping the company out of trouble. It's about making sure each person knows they have to act ethically and legally.
Exactly. We've been seeing more and more cases where regulators and prosecutors are going after the individuals involved in antitrust violations, not just the companies.
Wow. So it's not just the company as a whole that's on the hook.
Yeah.
That sends a pretty strong message.
It was us. And it's another reason why that culture of compliance is so important. Employees need to understand that their choices have consequences, and they need to feel comfortable speaking up if they think something isn't right.
So how do you build that culture of compliance? It sounds like a pretty involved process.
It is. It takes a lot of different things working together. Clear communication, good training programs, and ways for people to report potential violations. But it's also about leadership in the company setting a good example and showing that they're serious about ethical behavior.
So let's bring this back to our listeners for a minute. If you're a lawyer working with a client on something that could have antitrust implications, what are the big lessons from the Hilton case that you would emphasize?
That's a great question. I'd say the most important thing is to be proactive about antitrust compliance. Don't wait for a problem to show up before you start dealing with it. Talk to your clients, figure out what the risks are, and put strong compliance programs in place. And never forget, even when you're trying to do the right thing, you can still trip up if you're not careful about antitrust rules.
It's that old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Exactly. And when it comes to antitrust law, that ounce of prevention can save your clients a lot of legal trouble and money.
Earlier, we were talking about how even agreements that seem like they're good for the community can still be antitrust problems. Let's imagine a group of local restaurants. They want to help out a food bank in their area. They decide to only buy from suppliers who also donate to the food bank.
Yeah.
Sounds like a win-win at first, doesn't it?
It does sound like a nice idea, but we have to think about it from an antitrust perspective. Remember the Hilton case. This kind of agreement could actually be seen as a group boycott, even if their hearts are in the right place.
Because they're basically teaming up and putting pressure on the suppliers,
yeah.
And maybe limiting choices for suppliers who don't want to participate.
Exactly. And that's where things get tricky. How do you balance what you believe is right with following the law? How do you make sure good intentions don't end up breaking antitrust rules?
Tough questions. What advice do you have for businesses that are facing this kind of dilemma?
First thing, get a lawyer involved early on. An antitrust expert can help them understand the risks and look for other ones to do what they want that don't break the law.
So it's about being creative and finding ways to support their communities without getting in trouble with antitrust laws.
Exactly. Maybe they set up a separate fund for the food bank or encourage individual donations or find some other way to be socially responsible that doesn't involve creating a boycott.
It really shows how much nuance there is in antitrust law. It's not always a simple yes or no answer.
Definitely not. And that's why it's so important to talk things through, get expert advice, and really think about the potential effects of your actions.
So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive into the Hilton case, what are the key takeaways you want to leave our listeners with, especially for the lawyers among us?
I think the most important thing to remember is that antitrust law isn't just about punishing people who do bad things. It's about creating a fair and competitive marketplace that benefits everyone. And to do that, we have to be careful about how our actions, even those with the best intentions, affect competition.
It's all about finding that sweet spot where ethical behavior and legal compliance meet.
Exactly. It can be tricky, but it's absolutely essential for a healthy and innovative business environment.
Well said. And that brings us to the end of part two of our deep dive into United States v. Hilton Hotels Corp. You know, before we finish up, I wanted to touch on something you mentioned earlier about getting legal advice early on.
Oh, yeah, that's so important. Antitrust law, it can be really complicated, and if you make a mistake, it can cost you big time. Having a good lawyer who knows this stuff inside and out, they can really help you understand it all and make smart choices.
Like having someone looking out for you, making sure you don't step on any legal landmines.
Exactly. And they can also help you come up with creative ways to get what you want while still following the rules.
So, for those of us listening who, well, maybe aren't antitrust experts, what are some warning signs that we should be talking to a lawyer?
Anytime you're making deals with your competitors, especially if those deals could limit choices for customers or other businesses, that's a big one. Talk to a lawyer right away.
So, things like agreeing on prices, dividing up the market, or ganging up on certain suppliers, even if it's disguised as something else.
Exactly. And it doesn't even have to be a formal written contract. Even just casual conversations or unspoken agreements between competitors can cause problems.
It's about being aware of how your actions could affect competition, even if you have good intentions.
Absolutely. And remember, antitrust law, it changes over time. Something that was okay a few years ago might be illegal now. You got to stay up to date, and when in doubt, ask a lawyer.
This case really shows us that antitrust compliance, it's not just about avoiding fines, it's about doing business the right way, ethically, so that everyone benefits consumers, businesses, the whole economy.
It's about making sure everyone has a fair chance, a level playing field, so that the best ideas and the best companies can win.
Well said. Well, I think we've really dug into the United States v. Hilton Hotels Corp. case today and seen how it's still relevant for lawyers and businesses today.
It definitely is a cautionary tale. It reminds us that good intentions aren't enough. We have to know the antitrust rules and follow them, and sometimes that means getting help from an expert.
Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today. It's been really eye-opening.
It was my pleasure.
And to our listeners, stay informed, stay curious, and stay compliant. We'll see you next time for another deep dive.